Is there anything in your life right now that you're not ecstatically happy about?
Yes.
Okay, everybody got something. Okay, I know it was pondering. Y'all had to ponder. I noticed how much pondering happened on that. Okay, so that's what we're going to use as the subject of the lesson in order to make it relevant to us so we can stay focused. If it's abstract, we won't stay focused. But if we could apply the truth specifically, anytime you apply the truth specifically, it brings you into your body. Whenever you apply the truth in a general way at first, the easier it is for you to drift off and not hear what I'm talking about. If it has no personal relevance, it's hard to keep your attention. So we have to give it personal relevance if we're gonna stay focused. So everybody got a situation that they need to see differently. Okay. All right. Actually, I was just telling them what we're gonna do is take, if there's anything in your life that you can think of that you're not ecstatically happy about, then we're going to take whatever that situation is, and we're going to use today's lesson and apply it to that situation so that it become practical to us. So the first thing the Course says that we have to stop making up our mind what the answer is and then ask God. Number two, we have to say what we want, but decide that if we don't make any decisions by ourselves without our higher self, then we will get the day that we are asking for. So first you decide what you want to experience. Then you tell yourself if you make no decisions by yourself, it can be given to you. If you find yourself getting upset during the day, he says that means you must have made some decisions by yourself. And so you're supposed to say, I forgot what to decide. Then it says the next thing you do is you go, because you're upset about something, so the next thing you do is you go, well, at least I can decide I don't like what I feel now. At least I can decide I don't like the way I'm feeling right now about that. At least I can decide I don't like what I feel. You can decide that you don't like what you feel. It's okay. So the Course says, decide right now, if you're unhappy right now, decide right now that you don't like what you feel. I don't like what I feel about my mate. I don't like what I feel about my job. I don't like what I feel. Whatever that area is that you're telling yourself that anything or making yourself feel anything other than peace, he says, decide, make a decision that you don't like what you feel. Okay, so I'm making a decision right now that there's some things in my life that I don't like what I feel about them. All right, that's very important. Everybody got one? All right, then the Course says, then you can begin to change your mind. And he says, the way you begin to change your mind is to say, and so I hope I have been wrong. And so I hope I have been wrong. So here we go again. I can decide I don't like what I feel right now, and so I hope I have been wrong. I can decide I don't like what I feel about you, and so I hope I have been wrong. And so I'm going to say this over and over again, because the Holy Spirit told me that the Course is about repetition, and it's about remembering. So it can sometimes drive us crazy that I'll just focus sometimes on just one little thing, but I know all we need to do is remember one of them. So, and then we make it practical, then we can get the power out of it. So I'm telling you right now, I have decided I don't like what I feel about some stuff that's going on in my life. And you know what? I hope I'm wrong. Okay, you got to come back and go, and this is what I think is going on, yada, 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 you know, the thing we do. And then go, I don't like what I'm feeling right now, and so I hope I'm wrong. Then the Course says, the reason why you want to say you hope you're wrong is that it will work against your sense of opposition. If you're willing to hope that you are wrong, it will remind you that help is not being forced on you. Help is something that you want. Help is something that you need. So we need to realize that help is not being thrust on us. You know, so when you say stuff like, I don't like what I feel right now, but I hope that I'm wrong, then it's reminding you that you want help. And that help isn't being forced on you. And he says, and the reason why you know you need help, which is really funny, the reason why you know you need help is you don't like what you feel. And if you don't like what you feel, you need help. Everybody with me? All right, you don't like what you feel, you need help. Why? Because I don't like what I feel. See, it's circular. The Course reads circular. It doesn't read linearly. That's what makes it such a different kind of book to read. I have done Course classes where I read the book backwards, and it made perfect sense to people. Like, for instance, y'all can start at the bottom of the page, and it's like, this final step is but acknowledgement of lack of opposition to being helped. You're getting a statement of an open mind, not certain yet, but willing to be shown. So the readiness for asking is brought to your awareness. You can't be in conflict when you ask for what you want and see that it's this that you're asking for. The purpose of remembering what you want has no longer been obscured by the insane belief that you want this day for the goal of being right when you're wrong. Now you have changed your mind about the day. Now you have remembered what you really want. You want another way to look at this. This tainted grain of wisdom will suffice to take you further. You are not coerced, but merely hope to get the thing you want. So now you have reached the turning point, because it has occurred to you that you will gain if what you have decided is not so. Until this point is reached, you will believe your happiness depends on being right. So this much reason have you attained. You would be better off if you were wrong. This works against the sense of opposition and reminds you that help is not being thrust upon you, but something that you want, that you need, because you don't like the way you feel. This tiny opening will be enough to let you go ahead with just a few more steps you need to let yourself be helped. That was backwards.
Wow.
So it don't make no more sense to us, no matter how it's read. I don't care which way you read it to me. I won't understand it. So you can read it backwards. You can read it forwards. You can see it. You know, it don't make any difference. Isn't that great? Because it's so simple that it eludes us. I say it one more time. If there's something in your life right now that you're not pleased about, you need to decide that you don't like the way you feel about it. Then you come right behind it and you tell yourself, I hope I'm wrong. Because this, this works against the sense of opposition, reminds me that help is not being thrust on me, that I need help because I don't like the way I feel. He says, so that's enough to open you up to getting a few more steps to let yourself be healed. Because the Course in Miracles is about letting ourselves be healed. It's about allowing ourselves to be healed. It is not another one of those healing books that you got to heal yourself. You know you can. Mm-hmm. We've all been trying to heal ourselves since the day we got here. We've been coming up with the things we think is going to make us happy and give us peace, and then we go out and try to do it. All of us have been working our plan as long as we've been here. So the Course says, so what I want you to do is just decide you don't like the way you feel about that. And then hope you're wrong, because then you realize that help isn't being forced on you. You need it, because you don't like the way you feel. Then it goes on. So what we're doing is taking some steps that will do what? Let ourselves be helped. We're just taking some steps that will let ourselves be helped. All right, so the next paragraph says, if you're to the point that you are willing to be helped because you hope you're wrong, he says, now you have reached the turning point. Now, the Course in Miracles defines the turning point, which we all want to get to the turning point. I want to get to the turning point, but I need to know how to recognize the turning point. I need to know when I'm at the turning point, don't you? Okay, well, the way you can tell when you're at the turning point, he says, is because it's occurred to you that you will gain if what you've decided isn't true. If you're at the point in your life you're going, I hope I'm wrong, you're at the turning point. If you're at the point in your life where you're willing to go, you know, I like the way I feel, and I hope I'm wrong. He says, that's the turning point. And then he says, at that point, he says, because until you get to the point that you realize you would gain if it's not the way you've decided it is, he says, until this point is reached, you are a person that believes your happiness depends on being right. So if you are a person that believes your happiness depends on being right, you have not reached the turning point. If you're a person that believes that your happiness depends on you being right about the way you think it is and you're not happy, you haven't reached the turning point. You're at the turning point when you go, I hope I'm wrong. I don't like the way I'm feeling about this. I don't like what's happening in my life. And so I hope I am wrong. Okay. In other words, you have now attained enough reason, he says, that you realize if you just want to break it down, you go, I'd be better off if I were wrong about you. I'd be better off if I was wrong about you. What I was, that's what you say, I have a conscious, you know, thing with your partner. Now, could you sit down right here? I want to speak. I don't like the way I feel about you. And I really hope I'm wrong about it. See, that immediately takes a person off defensiveness. You know, I don't like the way I'm feeling, but I don't really want to feel this way. minute you say, I don't really want to feel this way, you've reached the turning point. So you find that the person will generally go, and it's always exceptions because you'll create that to try to prove to yourself that the truth doesn't work. Exceptions are nothing but our attempts to prove to ourselves that this doesn't work. So when it looks like it works except in one situation, that's just a plan, a secret plan you have to prove to yourself that the truth doesn't work. Your exception. Oh, it works everywhere except in my financial situation. Well, that's the area you're using to prove to yourself that the truth is the truth so you can be right. And like I like to say in the holiest of tones, damn! What y'all think?
I think I'm wrong.
I do too. I think I'm wrong. Yeah. Any questions? Like Wednesday, I'd love to get to some discussion. You know, take about 5 minutes for a discussion. That way we'll still get back to the material. Yeah.
I have to say I'm willing to be wrong.
Same thing. Same thing.
I'm hope.
Yeah.
What is the difference?
Yeah. I mean,
but I really,
you know.
No, I think it's going to be this way, but I'm willing to be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't. The course of the form doesn't matter. That's the thing we get caught up in. The form of the words that's been used.
Okay.
But what you and I both know we are in agreement in is the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Like even though we use a different word, you know, is it okay if I say I'm willing to be wrong? That's the same thing. Same thing. But in case you haven't been doing this line of reasoning, I think it's cool that we at least have some suggestions on the page. You know what I'm saying? So then before we analyze it, it's like I'm glad to get the suggestion. You know? Because I was looking at Oprah, and when I saw that Eckhart Tolle's book was the book selection that she had recommended, and that she's doing an online class for the first time with him, and they've already got 200,000 people, including me, signed up for the online class, and Barack Obama is winning states, I knew I wasn't in the same reality. And anybody that thinks they're in the same reality, regardless of how any of this turns out, they're not very observant. You're not very. If you don't know that we've already moved into another paradigm, you are not very observant. You're so caught up in your own life, in your own illusions, that you don't even see nothing going on around you. And that's where you. And that's the area that you got to decide you don't like what you feel because you're obsessed. And so you don't want to be right about the area of your life that you're obsessed about. Because it's cutting you off from what's happening in the rest of your reality. And there's a whole world going on around you that you don't see. But what's cool about it is when you decide to see it, it'll already be there. And so for once in your life, something wouldn't have taken time. Because it doesn't ever take time to have what you already got. So if you want things fast, you always ask for what you already have received. I've already received love. I just don't see it and know it. I've already received the abundance of God. Sometimes I just don't see it and know it. So I need to ask for it as if it's already there, but I just don't see it, instead of asking for it as if it's not there and I'm hoping that it'll arrive. That's two different ways of manifesting. And that's what this is. These are all manifestation formulas. Okay, this is what I want to experience. If I don't make any decisions without the truth, this day will be given me. I'm upset right now. I must have forgot to decide not to make decisions by myself. At least I can decide I don't like what I feel right now. And so I hope that I am wrong. If you were to do that consistently when things came up, the situation, the Course says, would quietly resolve itself. Read that a little bit. It said it will quietly resolve itself. It's almost like a book of incantations to me when I look at it. Little things that you say and you watch things happen because you have to have a certain attitude to even do it. And the attitude that you have to do it is really what creates it and not the words that you're using. Mm-hmm. It's your attitude that creates it. So the attitude that would even go, I must have forgot, I made a decision by myself today, I don't like what I feel, so I hope I'm wrong. See, just that attitude is the what creates the healing, the willingness to even say that. And we get caught up on the words. You know, and so that's what you have to watch out for. Then it goes on to say, well, before anybody else, before I go on further? Okay, now, since we know this formula, what do you think would keep us from using it?
Another separation.
Did you say that again, brother?
I said another separation. The other voice still talking.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just want to keep it going for some reason. And it's a trip when you really realize you want to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
And because you think you don't want to keep it going until you receive the solution. And then when you receive the solution and you don't apply the solution, you can no longer fake like it's something you really want to be rid of.
Yeah.
And so finally you understand why it doesn't go anywhere. See, that's how you get, you know what I mean? It's like if you give me the solution and I won't use the solution, then I can no longer say that I really don't want the thing I'm going through. And now I finally understand why it keeps on happening. I want it. But as long as I thought I didn't have the answer, I could think I didn't want it. So what the answer does is exposes to us that we're the creators of our reality and that everything that's happening is what we want to happen. And that's why people subconsciously back off of the truth, because they can't keep their illusion going if they knew they were the one that was creating it. You can't keep it going. As soon as you realize you're creating your own poverty, you can't keep it going. And if you would be honest enough to say you want it that way, you have exactly as much money as you want. You have exactly the kind of relationship that you want. You have just the kind of job that you want. This day is just the kind of day that you want. Then if you were to say that to yourself, it would dispel that illusion completely. And you start having the days you want it. I was on the elevator coming downstairs, and two young ladies got on the elevator and they said, "Hey, how you doing? Have a good day," they were singing. And then I got down to the bottom and they said, "Have a good day and may God bless you." That's on the elevator. You know what I'm saying? My old experience, and this happens to me all the time. I told a story one time about this motorcycle looking dude got on there with me, looked rough like he would just eat me up just to look at me, And we were riding down the elevator and he looked up at me and said, "Wouldn't it be great if people didn't judge people by their appearance and just realize that we were all one and we were all connected?" And I was like, so the point that I'm making is that the way you begin to realize that you're beginning to accept this stuff is it starts to be reflected back to you in your day-to-day life. And in situations that you would swear it never could happen in. So now I love, he says, so here's our mantra. I would be better off if I was wrong. I would be better off if I was wrong. I'd be better off if I was wrong. I'd be better off if I was wrong. I would be better off. That's what I say. I'd be better off if I was wrong in the area that I'm unhappy in. Then it says, this tiny grain of wisdom. Great, great phrase. This tiny grain of wisdom will suffice to take you further. You are not coerced, but you merely hope to get a thing you want. So you can say in perfect honesty, which of course calls consistency. I love that. It's just honesty. So to be honest is to be consistent. So if I'm saying something to you in perfect honesty, I'm saying something to you in perfect consistency. I know people who wouldn't believe that I love them if I didn't love others. Which is just the opposite from the world I used to live in, where a person judged whether or not I loved them by how much I excluded my love from others. Now I'm in a world where people tell me, if you're not saying this to more than me, I don't believe you mean it. Whoa, that's so deep. You say you love me, but if you really love me, I'll also see you expressing love for others. Because then you're really expressing it to me, because we're all one. See, it's a different language from the language I learned in fear, where it's not enough love to go around. Let me see if I can grab hold of somebody and make sure they don't give no love to nobody but me. That's a different world. And when you meet people like that, they have a fearlessness about them that's kind of disarming. It's like they feel so confident in themselves that they don't have any fear of losing you. And so they're devoid of jealousy. And so you, like all the stuff that used to trip your other women you were around, then you'd be around this new type that I'm meeting, and they're happy without you, they're happy with you, they don't feel afraid of you, how you interact with other females or males, or they have no sense of threat because they know they loved. And so I'm going into this other kind of reality that brings up my own unresolved stuff. Because then I get a chance to see how good I can pull it off. Because you're with somebody that's giving you exactly what you're giving them. And so that means that they're giving you freedom, they're giving themselves freedom. So all the old control games you used to play no longer apply here. Because the more you try to control them, the more they realize you don't love them. So they're less inclined to do what you say.
Damn.
I know, it's horrible. It turns into a control freak. So I'm going to warn you. Don't you go any further. If you need to control everybody and have it, you know what I'm saying? If you need to control everything and you've got to, you know, possess, don't put these books down. Don't read none of these New Age, New Thought, Open Mind, your mind books. Because sooner or later, you're going to have to start loving more than one person. And that'll be the scariest thing you've ever been confronted with. Because you realize what you're really afraid of is love. And you think that's the thing you've been pursuing the most. And it's the most frightening thing that fearful minds can ever encounter. That's why love comes to us very gently and very easily, by coming to us sometimes through assholes. Now, when they come into your life, they're giving you an opportunity to practice love at a slower speed.
There you go.
So you can catch up and catch your breath for a minute before you move on. So be glad when you meet these people, even if you can't be glad in the moment. In the moment you might not like have the way you feel, and in the moment you might hope you're wrong. But what I'm saying is, we are receiving love at the exact speed we can handle it. And that sometimes freaks me out, because I'm convinced I'm ready for so much more. What about you? Everybody says, well, I want more. I'm ready, you know. I'm ready for more. And the book says, no, you don't understand how the law works. If you receive more than you were ready to receive, it would only frighten you and delay you, because this is about getting rid of fear. So that you can experience what's on the other side of fear. If I frighten you, even if it's for your own good, I'm delaying you. So everything comes at the speed you can handle it. But I'm going to tell you how you can speed things up. It says the way you can do that is, from this moment forward, don't make another decision without checking in with your real self. And if you're getting an answer from your real self, you can tell, because you won't feel any fear. Then if you find yourself upset about something, then you know you're trying to act out your own plan and you're not listening to your guidance. So you're supposed to tell yourself, I forgot what to decide. I forgot. Doggone it, I'm mad again. I forgot again. I'm mad again. I forgot again. I'm angry again. I forgot again. I'm depressed again. I have forgotten again. That's what that means. I'm depressed. Oh, you've forgotten again. Oh, you're a little sad. Oh, you've forgotten again. What? You're making some decisions by yourself. Okay, then you go, well, at least I got to decide something, so I'm going to decide I don't like what I feel. Okay, then you go, so I hope I have been wrong. And then he says, so then you can say with perfect willingness, what, honesty? I want another way to look at this. Okay, what is it? I want another way to look at this. 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 Sometimes the inflection of a sentence in the course changes the whole sentence. I want another way to look at this. I want another way to look at this. I want another way to look at this. The same words. Totally different meaning depending on how I say it. I want another way to look at this. 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 I want another way to look at you. What? I don't like the way I'm feeling about the way I'm looking at you right now, what I'm saying. I want another way to look at this. We don't realize it's just that simple. I used to do it the old way, the stupid way, which was, I don't like the way it looks, so I'm gonna change you into something that I like the way you look. Anybody recognize that plan? I don't like the way it is, so I'm gonna change it into something I like. It's like that's the stupidest plan of all, but the one that's the most popular. It's the stupidest plan. I guarantee you, if any of you all in here make your happiness depending on being able to control Earl Purdy, you're not going to be happy. I'm telling you, because I will not be controlled. You see what I mean? So when you set up that plan, then you automatically setting it up where you're powerless. You ought, the truth I say, my happiness depends on you acting out my script. I have given all my power away. So what do I do? Because I've been trained this way. Well, I go, well, I don't like the way I feel. I don't like the way that makes me feel. So I hope I'm wrong about this, and I want another way to look at this. That's it. I want another way to look at this. He says, when you really say you want another way to look at it, he says, you have changed your mind about the day. Now, if you've changed your mind about the day, it just means you have finally remembered what you really want. And the Course says, this is the goal that we, when we think plans, like the Course says, your goal for the day, we have a tendency to think in terms of like my goal to become, you know, the secretary to the boss, or my goal to get a car. And the Course isn't talking about that at all. It says, this is what the Course says, that every unhappy, unpeaceful man's goal really is. No matter what they say it is, this is it. You want to hear it?
Mm-hmm.
It is you having the insane belief that you want this day for the goal of being right when you're wrong. So the Course says, we get up in the morning and we go, I want to be right today more than anything. No matter what happens today, I want to be right. I want to be right even when I'm wrong. Even when I'm wrong, I want you to tell me I'm right. Even when I'm not doing right, I want you to tell me I'm right. You know, the Course says, every unhappy person has the goal, but they don't realize it. Because we got the phony goals, right? So we got the goal to get the car, we got the goal to get the house, we got the goal to get the clothes, we got the goal to get the game. Those are just smokescreen goals. Mm-hmm. All right? Those are neutral. Those are not bad. Those are not good. They're just the way you're going to give yourself what you think you deserve. And there isn't but two things you can give yourself, and that's love or fear. So everything you decide you want is just the way you've lately chosen to give yourself one of those two experiences, and that's all. I can give myself peace and conflict, love and fear through a brand new car. I can give myself peace and conflict, love and fear through going to a movie. I can give myself peace and love in this class right now. Everything I think of at a physical level is only the thing that I think is going to bring me the experience that I want, which is either going to be one that's loving or one that's frightening. So everything you do is either bringing you something that frightens you or is bringing you something that gives you peace. Period. And all the physical things you come up with that you want is just the conduit or the medium by which you receive those two things. That's why it doesn't matter what you ask for on the physical plane. We have all these moral judgments about what's okay to ask for physically and what's not. It's so funny. It doesn't make any difference what color the pipe is. What you really want is the water that's coming through it. The form, the Course keeps saying, the form doesn't matter. The form doesn't matter. The form doesn't matter. The form doesn't matter. And so it's saying to us, okay, if you want to get out of this trick, he says, well, what you do is you tell yourself, I want another way to look at this. He says, now, that means that its purpose has no longer been obscured by the insane belief you wanted for the goal of being right when you're wrong. So now the readiness for asking is brought to your awareness. I love this line here. Think about this. This is like another one of those Courseisms. He says, you cannot be in conflict. Now he's going to tell us exactly how to get out of conflict. And watch out. It'll be tempted to go right past you. Okay, here we go. All right. You cannot be in conflict when you ask for what you want. Because to ask for what you want, you must have already have decided. And conflict is trying to choose between two or more things. So you cannot be in conflict and ask for what you really want. Then he says, for when you are not in conflict, you are asking for what you want, but you see that it is this for which you ask. In other words, I'm asking for what I want, and then I see that I'm asking for what I want. Let me give you a physical example of that. I'm asking for my glasses, and I realize I'm asking for my glasses. So I'm not in conflict. I want my glasses, and I know I want my glasses. I am not in conflict. So you can't be in conflict when you ask for what you want and see that you're asking for what you want.
your only conflict is when you're getting what you want, but you're pretending it's not what you want.
That is conflict. That is the core of all conflict.
I didn't want that.
But as long as you keep pretending that your life is giving you what you're not asking for, you will be in conflict, and you won't ever know your power to change things. And that's the stage that most people bail ship. They love this law of attraction. You attract stuff. I can create my reality stuff. Until it gets to the stuff that they don't like, that they're blaming somebody else for. Because, see, you can't blame somebody else and believe you're the creator of your experience. Those two things are completely contradictory. And you can't have it both ways. The Course says, if you're trying to play it both ways, you're really just playing it the old way. So you really haven't changed at all. So, you know, so it's like, and so a part of me doesn't like that, because a part of me loves the non-requirement of action that comes out of blaming others. Mm-hmm. If it's your fault that I'm not happy, I don't have to do nothing, and I can feel justified. So I don't like knowing that I created it, because at that point I'd have to become proactive about my own experience. And no longer be looking for other people. Now, we're in a world, though, that if you look a certain way, people will seem like they'll give you stuff for a while. We're in a world that judges by appearances. If you look, the Course puts it this way. I live in a world where if you look good, you are good. Yeah, if you look good, people trust you. If you look good, as the world defines looking good, they want to be with you. They don't know anything about your what? Content. Because in a world full of blind people, and of course, the Miracle's definition of blind was like, I love this book so much because it just says, do you know what the Course defines a blind person as being? The Course says a blind person is somebody that just perceives the form. A blind person is somebody who just sees the outside of everything. And I went, that was so deep. In other words, if you all are looking at me and you're judging me by my outer, you're blind because you're not seeing my content, which is who I am. So people who only judge by appearance are the most blind souls in the universe. We are all blind as long as we only believe in what we see. As long as you only believe that what you physically see is real and physically see is true, then you are effectively a blind person. And if you think about it, Braille has to do with feeling, right? And isn't that exactly all we do? We just sense. That's a blind person doing this is no different from you doing, looking around. You're doing the same thing. You're judging everything by physical senses. So we're all blind. But what's so tragic, it's just the blind leading the blind.
When they think they have the light to them.
But that's what I'm saying. The Course gives a beautiful analogy of that. And it just what you're saying. If you are asleep in the dark at night, and how many of you have ever been in a pitch black room or environment? All of us, right? Have you noticed that if you're in a dark, pitch black perception long enough, you start to see things? You start to make up images, you know, right? And the images look real, but you're really just making them up in the dark. And because we do it so well, we don't think we're creating it because we do it so well. These production values are so far beyond what we see in a movie that we think this must be real. This is just a hell of a budget. It's just as much something we're making up in the dark of our own false thinking. So then the Course says, well, how do you know that's true? I don't believe you, Earl. How do you know that that's true? He says, the Course says, because you're not happy. Your creator would never create a reality for you in which you did not have complete fulfillment. If your love would never put you in an environment where you are afraid for your life. It's just that simple. You ought to know this isn't real because it's too opposite to what something that's really loving would be like. And you know it is. You know it's not natural to be afraid of each other. You know it's not natural not to trust each other. You know it's not natural to blame each other. You know it's not natural to judge each other by the color of your skin. You know it's not natural to feel guilt and unhappy. No, we already, he says, the way you feel ought to be enough to let you know that you're thinking unnaturally. Nobody should have to convince you that your thinking is wrong. If we are not exuberant about each other, excited about ourselves, excited about our life, grateful that we're here together, and we can take that as an ordinary, big, not a big deal thing, then we are in fear. We don't know what love is. And so we need to say, I don't like that, Earl. So I hope you are wrong. So you can say it to me. You can go, hey, I hope you're wrong. I hope you hope I'm wrong about anything about you not receiving what you deserve to receive. I'm on your side. But I could be looked at as if I'm the one that you should be suspicious of. Isn't that weird? The person that talks to us the most loving is the one that will get the most suspicion. And the person who criticizes and judges us the most is we'll be the one that's crying and believing everything they're saying. That's how that's what the crying means. You're right, you're right, you're right, you're right. All that crappy stuff you're saying about me is right. And I really want to be with you. Like, if that don't mean you totally insane, what does it take for you to get to insane? Is what the Course says. I said, I didn't like that either, because cute spiritual books wasn't supposed to tell me I was crazy. You know, you don't read cute spiritual books and they say, hey, by the way, you're totally insane. you used to just hear, you are the light of the universe, multiplied 10 million times. This book said, you know something? You're a son of God going crazy. You're a child of God. You and the children of God, little red bus. But you get as cute as you can be, you know. You're innocent. You know how you look at people and they have some mental challenges. The thing that seems to always come out of them the most that affects me is they seem to have some kind of an innocence about them. Okay, that's us. That's just the way we are looked at by spirit. We're exactly, oh, they're just so crazy, but they're innocent looking. Give them a cookie. And that cookie might be your latest car you like, that apartment you like. You know what I'm saying? That's your cookie. Oh, look at, get her a little cookie. You know, while he's realizing that he really does deserve to have happiness and that, you know, it's his natural state. And if he's willing to follow these simple formulas, he'll get out of the predicament that he's in, because in order to reach people who are insane with fear, we need to have something that's very simple for them to do and can be done immediately. So our plan is not going to be very complex so that it can be acted upon rapidly. You wouldn't try to present a totally mentally challenged person with a calculus problem. So all solutions for us are simple, doable now, and take no analyzation on our part. But since I don't want to get out of it yet, I'm going to say I don't see the answer, or I'm going to say the answer is very complex. That's my way of staying exactly where I am.
Okay.
So how many of y'all are kind of like surprised a little bit to realize how much you have the life you want? But y'all think about that idea that your life right now is exactly what you want. I mean, you don't have to agree with me. That's what makes it fun. But just what do you think?
I mean, the biggest thing today was just talking about, I'm looking for a reason to say, oh, you're right. I'm the exception. This is my problem. It's an exception and I am right.
The goal when I get up in the morning of being right. That's right. And that's what the book is saying, that don't feel like the long range on that. The Course says, every mind that thinks it's separate is acting out that ideal. So anybody you know that thinks that they're not you or different from you or we're not connected to you, if I'm talking to a person who really thinks they're talking to somebody else and they're not coming at me from a unity space, then I know exactly the content of that person's mind. I don't know the form of their thoughts, but I know all the content of their thoughts. And so I know that this person thinks that they're separate and that there's a whole line of behavior that goes with the idea that you're separate, and they're going to run down that whole thought system with you. There's going to be competition. There's going to be fear. There's going to be love broken into by periods of upset. There's going to be scripts. There's going to be... You know what I'm saying? It's like, the ones you know these two thought systems that the Course teach you, the thought system of the mind that thinks is separate, the thought system of the mind that knows is one, is how you become safe in the world. Because you can just listen to the people around you and you'll know who's safe to be with. So you'll know how far to go with people. Because now you know the difference between a fearful mind and a loving mind. And that's how we become safer here. We become safer here because we've become conscious enough to recognize when we're about to hurt ourselves. Before you do it, you see it. He calls it vision. He says vision is seeing the consequences of your action before you take them. That's vision.
So when you see it and decide to go that way anyway,
that's your desire to have that experience, which we would call fate. When somebody says you're like, it's like it'll look like I'm fated to be black to the day I die, even though Michael Jackson did prove that wasn't always true. Because it's just an illusion. You understand? I've been white more times than I care to count.
So eventually, don't you hope that you notice the fearful mind and you see beyond that to their content?
That's exactly what I'm talking. That's exactly what I'm saying. Then you start.
You're still safe, and it doesn't matter.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Exactly. It's like the purpose of me being able to recognize this person's mind as ego, as a fearful ego, is that it allows me to actually relate to them in a safer way than they've ever experienced in their life. I could actually be their first experience of dealing with a safe person because I already know that they're frightened. And so I'd be even more conscious of being loving and paying attention to what they want and reminding them of who they are, seeing them beyond them, how they see themselves. And since they know the truth about themselves too, they're just pretending that they don't, then the real you are communicating, and then the crazy you that think is separate, you know, you're not even dealing with that part of the person anymore. You're not even engaging their ego anymore. Y'all's egos don't even get engaged like it used to, because you're sneaking behind the ego. You're going, oh, okay, this person has a fearful way of thinking, but that doesn't mean this is a fearful person. So I'm gonna go behind this person's thoughts. And connect to, in terms of who we really are. Because I don't care what any of you all are thinking, I know that in your heart, all you want to have is a safe experience. Really. That's all we really want with each other. So it doesn't really matter what you think as long as I want to be safe for you.
It's always a cry for love.
It's always a cry for love. That person is, but then I want to also be smart enough that I do not form a special love relationship with that person. So you have to know that too. It's like, because I'm seeing you as who you really are, then I am not going to enter into an intimate relationship with you that I'll have to experience all your thoughts with you. because that's what I'm having to do if I enter into an intimate relationship. Now I'm going to have to experience the result of your fearful mind. And so if I'm going to help you, I need to stay out of a fearful relationship with you. There was a time when I was talking to a female friend of mine, and we had been friends for years and years and years, and we were saying that the reason why our love and connection had lasted for so long, in a way, was because we had agreed not to be sexual. Because we noticed that the people we were sexual with were always the people that didn't last the longest. Mm-hmm. You know, that was just a real, it's like we noticed that the people we got into special love, sexual relationships with, we could look back over our lives and we realized we had these relationships, but we also realized that in 99% of the occasions, we no longer have a relationship with any of those people. And that the people that we still had relationships with were usually, and there's always exceptions, but usually people that we were non-physical with. We noticed that there was a distinct connection with longevity and not getting into sexual specialness, and getting into sexual specialness and not having longevity, to the point that you see each other in King Super and you try to go down the other aisle. But this is the same person that you were, this the same person that you were in the bed with, saying, telling each other forever and forever and forever and forever. Now you can't even run into each other at the store. So we realized, we said, you know, why don't we just have a really loving, peaceful relationship with each other and use each other to remember the truth and go out and have a good time, and then have these other experiences with people that we were willing to take a chance on never seeing them again. Because our relationship was more... So a lot of times when I would meet somebody and I feel that familiar physical attraction that comes up between people who think they're bodies, I'll stop and ask myself, is this something you want to last for a long time? Is this something that you would be willing to take a chance on not being in your life if it didn't work out? If you're willing to do that, go ahead and act on your physical, chemical, emotional, gotta have a special attraction. Because you know that it has a great chance of not being a permanent relationship based on what you know you have experienced in the past, and that's not theoretical, and that's not being negative. That's just a fact. Now, then you go, well, how can I have both? Oh, okay. This is the way you have both, a long-lasting relationship that's full of passion and desire. What? Say, when you're upset with that person, at least I can decide I don't like what I feel about you. And so I hope I'm wrong, and I want another way to look at you. Now, if you will do that, you can have the sanity and the passion and the feeling. But you got to apply true principles to the relationship. You cannot apply the principles that you learn from the world and expect to have a wholly healed, long-lasting, eternal relationship. They don't work that way. So you got to be willing to have your relationship be easier than you've had them in the past. If you're willing for your relationship to be easier, then I can help you, is what Spirit said. Because I can't help you till you want it easier. You got to really want it easier for me to help you. You could imagine a being, a powerful being within you saying something like that to you. You know, oh, you want to, oh, I can only help you when you want more love than you have right now. I can't show up until you want the now rather than the past. Sorry, I don't operate in things that are gone, and I don't operate in things that don't exist. I only operate in the now. So you got to kind of look for me now, want me now, make me important in your life now, put me first now, if you want to have the power of God with you now. You know, that's the way it talks to me. And then, so all of a sudden, I started to, you know, more and more see these people come into my life. But I noticed that by the time, and I consider you all as part of those people, by the way. I'm not, okay. By the time you become aware of people like that showing up in your life, you also have reached an awareness that you're not supposed to try to get anything from people. That's the other trip. It's like seeing everything you ever dreamed of, and all your get mechanisms come up, and yet you know that that's the last thing that you can do if you want to have it, is try to get it, seduce it, and manipulate it. You know this guaranteed, you're gonna toss yourself out of the club. See, that's the way it works. You know, you're in a club that's about sharing, unity, and oneness. You're tempted to come into the club with your old attitude of get. Well, just having that very vibration repels you back out of the experience of the loving people. They haven't done anything. You just threw yourself outside the circle. And where you land is, you land in a world full of people that want to get like you. And then it becomes just, who can I get from? And for what? Whew. Man, that's cold. That's so deep. What y'all think about that? Isn't that deep? I'm going to stop here. Do the love offering and then do a quick recap before we go out into the lab. Okay? Oh. Oh. Ah. Was that kind of sobering? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's okay if we all kind of sober. Anybody need to sign the email this for my course and your life? Have a help. I'll be able to get in touch with you.
Yeah, I would like to.
Yeah, we'll let you know that.
What was the hardest thing for you to hear? Anybody got one that was hard for them to hear?
That I want it, just
for
yeah.
That you wanted this way, yeah.
It was this piece of this. But this much reason have you now attained. Okay, here it was. Its purpose has no longer been secured by the insane belief you wanted for the goal. This was the goal of being right when you were wrong. But I'd never
heard it before.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's so
natural that it doesn't even come to conscious awareness. That's what I realized about myself. It's so much a part of my nature to want to be right that I don't even consciously realize that I want to be right all the time. Because nice people don't want to be right all the time. See, so we know what's right. See, we all know. So that's why we have to be secret about it. Well, I don't really want everything just the way I want it. Yes, you do. No, you do. You want it exactly the way you want it. Oh, I'm not. I'm just, go ahead.
So back at the beginning with the rules for decision, and it says, you know, that decide what kind of day that you want. So right there, we're deciding that this piece that we want to be right for the day. Because I had no trouble with that. To go, well, what is it? Do I want to just say, would I be better off to say what I want is a loving day or a peaceful day rather than saying I want this deal to close or just...
Well, you know, it's like... I'm glad you mentioned that because I brought that up last week. What I found out for me personally that makes the truth easier for me is that what used to cause the conflict was when I was trying to decide what to apply the truth to. And so when I made the decision that I would apply the truth to every single thing, period, that was the end of the conflict. So what I mean by that is... You know, if you say, I decide the kind of day I want to, and you think of something that you'd like to have materially, if you don't make any decisions by yourself, even though I don't understand how, I'm going to accept that I could have that day that I wanted. That if I can create my reality, if I am the creator of my reality, if I am the one that's drawing it to me, then the truth is there isn't any kind of day that I could want that I couldn't have. Period.
Not at all.
But then here's the other level that I think the Course is talking from, which addresses what you're saying. The truth is, when I want to think of the kind of day I want to have, I really want to think in terms of, I want a peaceful day, I want a loving day, I want a safe day. So when you really wake up, that's where you're going to go, because you're going to realize that in the end, that's all that matters anyway. So you just really cutting out the middleman, and you just going, instead of going, I want to have this car so I can feel good. You're smart enough that you just go straight to, I feel good. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to have the car. I feel good. See, then the car's great, and the car don't show up. Who cares? Because it's in no way dependent on it. My happiness is in no way dependent on it. That's why this thing about a holy relationship. If my happiness is not dependent on you, then of course I'm not going to be afraid about what you're doing all the time. And if we come together and I feel good and you feel good, we just what? Increased it for both of each other. You know, so the Course is basically saying to me, if you're having a relationship that is a right relationship, you will feel, your life will feel lighter and more unburdened as a result. You know, it's like me trying to lift something heavy by myself. You can't tell me that it's not better for me if you grab the other end of that table too. So what happened? Our partnership created a lighter burden. That's how he says, that's how we know we're not in right relationship. We look at our relationship as the heaviest job on earth. Oh, I gotta work on my relationship. Work on it. And then you tell people they don't have to, then they go, oh, no, it's the most frightening thing you can tell them, because that's what's making their life interesting. That's what's giving their life any meaning, is all that drama they're going through all the time. That's the only way they even know they're alive.
That was my gem for today. You said, non-action is the payoff for victimhood.
That's right. I don't have to do anything if I'm the victim of you. I don't have to take responsibility for nothing. I can totally understand people liking victim. It's just the problem with it is, though, it's like any other idea, you have to attract the perpetrator. In order for you to be a victim, you got to be always creating something that's screwing up on you. You are. So that's why the victim thing isn't a smart place to hang out. Because you have to be one. You have to go be one. So that means that even the things that you would be most resistant to owning at any level, and it's okay if you don't. It's not necessary to do that. But if you really want to speed yourself along, go, you say something like, I don't know how I did that. I don't know how I created that. I don't know why I created that. I don't even remember creating that, but boy, I sure created that. That's what you do. I don't know how I did it. I don't need to know how I did it. I don't even believe I did it, but I must have done it. You start talking like that. Except that don't spend a moment trying to figure out how, why you did it. Just go, I don't know why I did it, but, you know, I did it, and I hope I'm wrong about it, and I want another way to look at it. See, that's where you start going. I just want another way to look at this, you know. And then because you want it and you have and you know you need it, then there's no block to receiving it. Like you said, if you ask for what you want and see that you ask for what you want, then there's no conflict. And I see that I need help. I see that I need love in my life.
What was that statement again? Non-action is
what did he say?
What you said.
Well, I'm not, it's always him.
Non-action is the payoff for victimhood.
Yeah.
Dude.
And all I know you've said it so many times, but it's about the lessons, going through the lessons, that if you ever want to make these changes so much more quickly, you do those lessons every day, because it breaks everything down to your core,
right
to the bottom.
That's right.
And reprograms your mind step by step. I'm now doing it for the second time and getting now a higher level of stuff that I got through, and it's a whole year of reprogramming every day, and that's what you need.
And that's what's such a trip. And I tell people to picture that 28 years later, like in my case. You know, and people, you say, excited I am. Why could I still be this excited about something that wasn't still revealing stuff to me after 28 years? Or something? And the people say, well, you know, that's, you know, well, that, you know, you must be dedicated. You're a real slow learner. And I'm like, you know, and I'm saying, both. Yeah, and he says it's a slowly evolving training. But decide, if you're studying something and the only thing that happens is everything gets better, wouldn't you have to be kind of stupid to stop? But that's what I used to do. I used to stop doing stuff as soon as it worked. I don't know if you all have ever done that. It's like, as soon as it worked.
You already read that book.
Yeah, I already read that book. I already got that. I've done that. Like, of Course in Miracles, I did that last summer. I love when people say that to me. Good book, loved it, just like they were reading Time magazine, you know. Yeah. And I have done whole weekends. I used to do Course in Miracles weekends from seven to ten on Friday, and then we go from 10 in the morning to 10 at night on Saturday, and then like 10 to 6 or 8 on Sunday. And we would spend all that time on one section. And could you imagine the level, and what happens when you do a long-term course thing is right about, I'd say, at the five to six hour mark, your ego just goes, I'm through. I'm serious. And all of a sudden, everybody in the group and everybody in the class starts to hear it. It's such a trip that we never get to that point in classes. But there's a point when
you reached it about
47
minutes.
Well, great. Well, I oh yeah, exactly. That part of you
just makes too much sense.
Yeah, it makes too much sense. I got that. Yeah. No, and like the poet says, he says, we are sane minds learning insane lessons, and so we think we're insane, but we're not. We're perfectly capable of understanding something that makes sense. We just haven't heard it. Mm-hmm. So when we hear it, we go, yeah, well, why did I think? Well, somebody had to tell me that. You know, that's so obvious. It's that kind of thing. You know what I mean? Why should you have to tell me that I need to decide I don't like what I feel? You know, of course I don't like what I feel. You see what I mean? It's like, we all know it, but we are not in a world that we've created right now where it's reflecting that truth back to us. And so we feel like the strange ones. We feel like the weird ones because where we are and our reflection are not in alignment yet because we're in transition. So you're still seeing some of the old paradigm, and you haven't gotten deep enough in it yet to always see the new paradigm. And so he calls it the period of disorientation. but it doesn't last as long as it took you to get you in the insane place to begin with. He says, so, you know, and just don't be afraid that you're going to be lifted up and hurled into happiness. You know, don't worry, I'm going to move. At you. Okay, don't worry. He says, but he says, time is kind to the gentle man. So that's all we're trying to become, is gentle minds. So tomorrow at 7 o'clock, I'm going to do another Course in Miracles class, and you're welcome to come to it. And then Sunday at 1 o'clock. And I'm available for one-on-one sessions also. Really. We all have to do the same. We're all doing the same thing. We're just doing it in different ways. And then that gives us the illusion that we're dealing with variety, because the ego needs variety. It needs change. It needs difference. So the part of you that needs change, variety, and difference, give it to it. Let yourself do some cool stuff that you don't know. Let yourself. The best way to undo your ego is through joy and fun and play and laughter. It's not through this heavy stuff people talk about. You want to undo your fear? Have a good time. So every time you let, anytime any of y'all are doing anything that you all are laughing and having fun, I don't care what it is. I'm so happy because it benefits me. It benefits me. Anytime you all are doing anything that makes you feel good, and I want you to, please, you owe it to me. I owe it to you to have a good time. And I tell you, I paid my debt last night. So I'll see y'all next time. Thank you for coming, Holy Spirit. Yeah. Y'all too. Absolutely. Yeah.